Let us hear now the word of God. And our reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew. Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. And we want to read in this account of the death of our Lord Jesus from the verse 45. Matthew 27, verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, This man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran, and took a sponge, and filled it with vinegar, and put it on a reed, and gave him to drink. The rest said, Let be, let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, Truly this was the Son of God. Amen. We'll end our reading there. Father, we ask a blessing on the public reading of Holy Scripture for Jesus' sake. Amen. Psalm 46, where our text is found. I want to read the latter part of the psalm, and then we briefly pray, keeping the word of God open before us at this portion. The verse 7 of Psalm 46 to the end. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father, we ask a blessing on the word read. We pray for the Spirit's presence and power as we contemplate and consider the text. We ask that thou wilt give us a glimpse of our Lord, our crucified Lord, even thy Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Bless thy people. Awaken sinners. Glorify his name and build his church. In his holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. A work to behold. A work to behold. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. Our text is bracketed between the same sentence occurring in verse 8 and again at verse 11. Our text is verses 8 through to 10. It occurs between the same sentence. And therefore that sentence, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah, that sentence brackets our text. Our text has been highlighted by that bracket. The Holy Spirit is highlighting the verses in between. And we are having that highlight with Emmanuel's name. Because Emmanuel is in the text, God with us. It is Emmanuel who is with us. It is the God of Jacob, that is the covenant angel that redeemed Jacob. That's the one who's in the text. Emmanuel, the Redeemer. And between the texts, we read of these works of the Lord. There is a hymn which begins, "Come with me, visit Calvary, where our Redeemer died." And that's what I want to do this morning. And that's what I want to call you to do this day with me. Come with me, visit Calvary. Because the work that we want to behold is that work. And our text is the lens through which we want to look at Calvary this morning. And the thrust of my message is this thought, that there is no place like the place of Christ's crucifixion to see these devastating desolations of Jehovah. There's no place like the cross to see that. There is no redemption without desolation. There is no salvation without destruction. There is no forgiveness without blood. And there is no salvation without death. And all of that happened at Calvary. So come with me. Behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. Calvary is the place that I draw your attention to. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. That is the only reference in the New Testament in which our word Calvary occurs. It's a Latin word. It is a translation of the word a skull. The word a skull occurs in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Although in Luke, our translators use the Latin word to translate it, Calvary. It is the place of a skull. A skull speaks of death. A skull speaks of desolation. A skull speaks of destruction. And the skull, the place of it, and the account of what happened at it is in all four Gospels. Now, why it is called a skull is not revealed. But it is no accident that in the providence of God, it is so. The place, Calvary, the place of the skull. And we want to visit Calvary. And I think the godly and good Bishop of Liverpool, who in his preaching said these words, is right. I believe it is an excellent thing for us to be continually dwelling on the crucifixion of Christ. That is a good thing, to be often reminded how Jesus was betrayed into the hands of wicked men, how they condemned him with most unjust judgment, how they spit on him, scourged him, beat him, and crowned him with thorns, how they led him forth as a lamb to the slaughter without his murmuring or resisting, how they drove the nails through his hands and feet and set him on Calvary between two thieves, how they pierced his side with a spear, mocked him in his suffering, and let him hang there naked and bleeding till he died. Of these things I say, it is good to be reminded. And I believe the bishop was right. We need to be reminded, and not just because this is a Lord's Day communion morning, but also because it is the message of the cross that saves sinners. And there are sinners here that need to be saved. And also because it is the message of the cross that sanctifies the hearts of believers and purifies them. And we as God's people need that. And so there's no better theme than the cross of our Lord Jesus. And there's no better place to visit than Calvary. In our text, in verse 8, you will notice that there are two commands. Come, behold. There are only four commands in the whole psalm. Just four imperatives. Two of them occur in verse 8, and then in verse 9, the other end of the text, verses 10, it says, be still and know. Two commands. Four commands, two on each side, enclosing this scene of desolation. And it is the last two commands that the Lord speaks directly to us. Be still and know that I am God. And it is the first two commands that the psalmist speaks when he invites us in to see the scene. Come, behold the works of the Lord. And so, between these four commands is enclosed the words, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. I want to highlight the four commands around that devastating scene. First of all, come. Come to the place of this devastation. Come to the place of this work. The Lord says, come. This is a place he wants us to visit. This is a devastating scene he wants us to put our feet upon and behold. And if there's a place that the Lord wants us to visit this morning, I am sure that place is Calvary. He wants us to visit Calvary today. And so come with me, people, for the duration of this sermon. Come with me and visit Calvary. Leave behind all your distracting thoughts in the pew. Come with your shoes from off your feet. Come reverently. Come thoughtfully. But come. Come without bitterness. Come without anger. Laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Come with me. Come with me. Yes, let us come to the place. Not today, the place where our Lord lay, but where our Lord hung there. Upon a tree in the scene of desolation. So break loose the world's cords, men and women, and the fetters that are binding you to this temporal world and to the time that will soon be over, and come with me. Break the chains and come with me for a while. To Calvary. So cut off all those distractions. Put everything behind you. And come. Give place and give time to look upon this scene now. Hear our Lord say, is it nothing to you?
All ye that pass by, is it nothing to you? All ye that pass by, behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Those are the words of Christ. So come and see, all ye that pass by. Don't go on. Come in. Come, the Holy Ghost says. Come. Yes, come, you that pass by. You who have come in but for this day. Come, you who may never come to this church again. Come, come now with me, visit Calvary. So don't pass on. Come. And then that brings us to the second imperative. Behold. Come, behold. Yes, behold. Come, not with closed eyes, but with open eyes. It is a horrid scene. It is a terrible scene. But you must keep your eyes open. You must open them wide. You must behold. You must behold and see. You must look at the place where our Lord was crucified. You must bring your gaze, however difficult it is, upon the devastating picture. Behold. We sung, did we not? Behold the Savior on the cross, a spectacle of woe. See. Yes, see. See from his agonizing wounds, the blood incessant flow, what desolations he hath wrought in the earth as the blood of Emmanuel flows at Calvary. Come, see, come, behold. If there's a place where the Holy Spirit says these words, the first place surely must be Calvary. The Christian church says, you know, we preach Christ crucified. And we use all scripture to do that. And the scripture this morning is this: come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. So look, passerby. Look. And the Lord presents you this window, the text before you, to look into and see your crucified Lord. And so we're considering Christ today. You saints, never weary of beholding Christ crucified. Never weary of beholding the Lamb of God for sinners slain. So come, you saints, again and look afresh today, and let your heart become fresh in the glimpse, and your soul be revived once more. Be quickened at the cross. Be melted there, and leave your toys and arise and serve the one who thus died in this desolation for your sins. And what does the text say that we must behold? The works of the Lord. And surely there is no better display to watch than the display of God's works. This is the best display possible. This is the best stage that ever could be erected. This is the best production that could ever be put on it for us to observe, the display of the divine works. So come in and watch this display of the divine work. Behold. And so watching this sight is no waste of time, like much of the things that the people of God watch. This is no waste of time. There is nothing better than watching the works of God. And of that the Bible says much. The psalmist said, I will remember the works of God. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. He said also in another place, the works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure in them. There are those who have their pleasure in the soaps. There are those who have their pleasure in all other things, and they'll seek them out. But the man of God, he has pleasure in the works of God, and he seeks them out, and he watches and observes them. And the psalmist said, I shall not die. Oh, blessed and holy man of God, that you resolve thus, I shall not die, but live. And I won't waste my time talking about this and that and the other. I shall not die, but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's what he's going to do. He's not going to waste his time giving them nonsense from the pulpit. I'll declare the works of the Lord. So behold the works of the Lord. And that's what happened at Calvary. It is the work of the Lord. To the unbeliever, it is not so. To them, it is only the work of men, the work of Pilate, the work of the Roman soldiers, the work of unbelieving Israel, the work of religious leaders who handed Jesus over to be thus crucified and nailed by the Romans. All that the unbeliever can see is the work of men. But with the eye of faith, we can see beyond that, and we know Calvary was the work of the Lord. It was the work of the Lord. Christ crucified, the Apostle Paul tells us, is unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto us which are called, whether Jew or Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. That's what Calvary is. Christ, the power of God. The Apostle Paul also said concerning Calvary and the death of our Lord Jesus, he said, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. That's what was happening at Calvary. It was a work of God. He was working desolation. As our sins were imputed to Jesus Christ, he's in Christ working. He's in Christ dealing with sin. The Bible says that Calvary is this, whom he has set forth to be a propitiation for our sins. That's what's happening at Calvary. He's bearing the wrath of God. He's bearing sin. His Father is smiting him. His Father is bruising him. His Father is beating him. His Father is breaking him for us sinners. Because there is no redemption without death. And so we preach Christ crucified. A stumbling block, I know, to many, but to us, it's the greatest work of God in the universe. God in Christ reconciling us. So herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. So men and women, Calvary is God's work. None so remembered, none so great, none so sought after as the work of the cross, and none so proclaimed by every Christian preacher than that of Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. And so Jews who are blinded with that veil that is still across them, come, come and see how you are redeemed and Muslims, with all their darkness, come and see the true desolation that brings to men redemption. And you darkened, hardened Protestants who are used to this every week, come again and behold your crucified Lord. When I survey, yes, the hymn writer does it, when I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the death of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet? Are thorns compose so rich a crown? What desolations he hath wrought in the earth for us. Observe how these works then are further defined in this desolating scene. And again the emphasis is upon what God has done, what desolations he hath made in the earth. God has done it. So here is something God has put on the stage for us to watch and to observe. This word, desolations, it is a shocking word. It is a word of astonishment. What astonishing things he has done is the sense of it. What work is this that has terror and horror and astonishment in it? You have to come to Calvary to see that. You know, God's work of creation is awesome. It is awesome. You view all the mountains, you view the valleys, you go out into space, you consider the distances of the globes, you just be lost in that scene, and you see the awesomeness of God, the awesomeness of his creation, but no horror, no terror. But the earth is now, you see, a place of sin. And the work of redemption now must take another form. It is no longer creation, because the world has sin now and sinners. It must be redeemed. And there is no redemption from sin without death. No forgiveness without death. No remission without blood. And so Calvary is the place of the work of our Lord, but it is a place of horror, a place of astonishment, a place of desolation. It brings in new emotions that we do not have during the first 6 days of creation. This work, it's different. This is his redemptive work. What desolations? But none like the desolations of the place of the skull. The place of the skull, it's there that peace is made. It is there that Satan's head is crushed. And perhaps the skull has reference to that. It is there that this peace, this redemptive peace, is obtained.
Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, he cutteth the spear in sunder, he burneth the chariot in the fire. Peace, peace, peace through the blood of his cross. Peace through the devastating scenes of Calvary. And peace nowhere else. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him, Paul says, to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether there be things in heaven or things in earth, no reconciliation without the blood. None. And so the peace to the ends of the earth is only obtained through the peace offering, our Lord Jesus Christ, and what the Bible so often refers to as the blood of the peace offering. And you, beholding sinner, Jesus says this morning, behold me. Behold me. Not your works, not your baptism, not your denomination or your church, but Christ crucified. Behold me, behold me, Jesus says, slain for your sins. Behold me. And so see, were the weapons of wrath against us are broken. See where the bow of divine justice is dealt with. See where the chariots of wrath are burned up. See where the spear has been cut asunder and where the bow has been broken. It was all done at Calvary. And Jesus reminds us of that this morning when he says, this is my body which is broken for you. Broken for you. The weapons of divine wrath against you were broken at Calvary. At Calvary. And that leads us on to God speaking now, the Emmanuel speaking. And now we read of the exaltation that follows a redemptive desolation. And now we read of this risen, ascended Emmanuel, exalted above all heavens, who speaks now to us in verse 10, and he says, be still. Our risen Lord now is no longer upon the cross. The work of desolation is finished. The peace has been made. And now our ascended Lord says, be still. That's the third imperative. Be still. Be still at the cross. Be still at the scene of desolation. Be still in your soul, sinner, who rests in this Redeemer. Do you not recognize a voice? Do you not know who speaks these words? Be still. Do you not hear the echoes of him who on the Sea of Galilee spoke to the storms and to the devastation around him, who arose from his sleep as one who arose from the dead and said, be still. Peace, peace, be still. And sinner, to you who believe in Jesus, to you who trust in this Redeemer, this exalted Lord says to you, be still, peace, peace, be still. And child of God, you should have peace. Peace. Peace in your heart and peace in your soul. And let me tell you this, you'll never get peace anywhere but at the cross. At the cross. So be still.
And there is one last imperative, the fourth imperative in this whole psalm. Know. Have assurance. It is God's work. Know that the cross is victorious. Know that the Redeemer is exalted. Know that he comes back having trodden the winepress alone, his garments stained with the blood that was necessary in our redemption. He comes back alone from the desolation, exalted, and he says, "Be still and know, I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in all the earth." This message you must bring to all the four corners. You must tell them I reign. You must tell them I rule. You must tell them they must submit themselves to my kingdom. They must receive me as Lord and Savior and King. And so I know Jesus will win the day. And I know the cross will prevail. And I know that the heathen will come in multitudes to this Redeemer's feet. I know it because he said it. I will be exalted, not might be, I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. That's going to happen. It is happening. It is happening. There are multitudes of all tongues and nations and colors and classes who love Jesus Christ and who embrace Emmanuel of Calvary. It has happened. It is happening. And it will happen to a yet greater extent. This is the hope of the gospel. And this is the gospel that we preach. As it said of one of old, when he saw the sign of a cross, and I have nothing to say about the truth of what he saw, but of that cross, it said, "In this conquer." And that's where we conquer. Not with the sword of the Muslim. We don't get peace by making a wilderness amongst humanity. No. Our Lord Jesus was made a wilderness that we might have peace. And humanity can enter into that by coming to the cross, the place of devastation. You don't get people saved by devastating them. You don't get people saved by shooting them and bombing them and blowing them up and calling them names and running them down. You only get people saved by bringing them to the cross. That's the only way. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray. We'll seek the Lord. Our Father, we thank thee for Calvary. We can never know how deep the waters were that the Savior crossed. We remember how Abraham said to the servants when he brought Isaac to slay him. He went away far off. Nobody could see it, or nobody could enter into the scene. We thank thee, Lord, that we can come so close, but we can never go deep. But we thank thee, Jesus went deep, and he finished the work. It is finished. Bless his name. So may the Redeemer be exalted tonight and this morning in this house. May your people be blessed. May their hearts be revived. And may sinners, poor darkened sinners, feel their need of a Redeemer. And may they come to Christ. Bless us now for Jesus' sake. Amen.